Source is a podcast made by women for women. We talk with a wide variety of experts, ranging from a sex therapist to the CDC and everywhere in between, to bring you the stories you're only going to hear here. Our goal is to entertain and educate, because it's more clear now than ever just how much we as women are doing as parents, as spouses, employees, just as everything. Don't miss out on being in the know. Subscribe to Soul Source wherever you listen to podcasts today. Leave us a review too, because this part's really important. When you leave those reviews, that's how we're able to continue bringing you the content you love each and every week. So buckle up, Soul Source Society, because we're about to get started.
Sometimes women underestimate all the skills that they bring, and a franchise or a business can allow them to really blossom.
Hello there, everybody. I am your host of Soul Source, Raquel Lamel. And well, let's be honest, this past year and a half now, it has been trying to say the least, especially for women. I know a lot of women have found themselves either out of work due to the pandemic or having to juggle like a million different things, right? Kids staying home, spouses losing jobs, you having to adjust your job. So there's just been a lot on our plates as women this past year. And now, I mean, kids are back in school. Some of them are still learning virtually. Other times you might have, you know, one classroom exposure, right? And then the kids are home for 10 days because they have to quarantine and you got to get tests. And it's a whole lot of stuff. So there are solutions. There are options out there for women. And my guest today is able to talk about some of those, because some of you might be thinking about a career change. You might even be wanting to be your own boss. So my guest today is Diane Plois. She's basically the matchmaker of franchising, but she helps match people to businesses that are a good fit and people can be their own bosses. And you know, there's a lot more to franchising than just flipping burgers and deep frying, as we're going to find out today. So Diane, this is going to be so much fun. Welcome to Soul Source.
Thank you very much. I'm thrilled to be here, Raquel.
So I mentioned you call yourself the matchmaker of business. What does that mean?
It means that first I learn about the person so that I can make that match or be that matchmaker. I start by asking a number of questions. What's important to them? What is their why? What do they want to accomplish? A business is really a vehicle to get them somewhere. So where do they want to go? And then I can look at franchise companies that I think would be a good match for them and that are available and viable in their area. I'll usually make several recommendations. Many times they might be businesses they had never thought of, but as they learn about them, usually they go, oh, this is pretty interesting. This fits my skills, my goals. I want to learn more. So that's what I do as being the matchmaker. It's not in love, but hopefully the people will be in love with the business that if they move forward, that they would love.
Well, that's such an important piece to it all, right? Like I always hear like, do something you love and you never work a day in your life, right? And so it's important to have that matchmaking piece.
It is. One thing I might add is there's a little bit of a mental shift in that we're traditionally thinking in terms of a job and a job that we love. And yet with a business, many times what people love is running the business, having the control, making the decisions, hiring the people. So it's really a lot broader than sometimes people think as an employee when they make that shift from employer from employee.
Okay. So, you know, let's get a little bit of your background. How did you get into this? How did you become the business matchmaker?
It was a little bit of serendipity. I might say that I grew up on a dairy farm in Wisconsin.
And of small course, world.
Small world, yes. And of course, the job title of franchise consultant didn't exist at that time. But I believe I've been fortunate in that when I went to college, I had some teachers that nurtured me and encouraged me and helped me keep that ready and open mind to look for opportunities. So when I got out of college, I was involved in advertising and marketing. I simply answered one ad in the newspaper for a marketing director for a franchise development company. And I was hired, and that morphed into other positions, which allowed me to be invited to join FranChoice as a franchise consultant. That was not quite 17 years ago.
Oh my goodness. How lucky that you got, well, it's probably not even all luck, but that the first interview and you got it. That's awesome.
Well, it was, and maybe I should preface that and say that I had quite a bit of experience before that. I went back and got my MBA. I would hope to think or like to think that some of the skills and background that I brought to the table were helpful as well.
Oh, but I am sure.
Also fortunate.
Yeah, a little bit of both. So, you know, what is the biggest misconception? You work in franchises. What is, you know, maybe a hang up people have or something they don't understand about the franchise business?
Sure. Well, people just automatically think that franchises equals fast food. It
McDonald's
equals French fries.
Yep.
And that's understandable because there are so many fast food restaurants and they've got the flashing signs on the side of the road. So that's what we would think of. But there are many other industries from senior care, pool care, pet care, anything home services related, residential painting, cleaning, electrical, plumbing, fitness, food, staffing. There's many, many options. So just about anything that you can think of as you go through your day, and maybe you got a car wash, maybe you got an oil change. Some of these businesses could be franchises and you don't think of them at first blush. So one misconception would be that we tend to limit ourselves as far as the opportunities that are available.
And that is such a big one too, because I mean, it is, it's a whole bunch of stuff that you just don't even think of when you think franchise. So that's really good to hear. Okay. So SoulSource, we focus on women here on the show. You know, we're always bringing women, you know, informative, educational stories, things that news that women can use basically. And I mentioned off the top of the show, women have been struggling for a while now, especially with this pandemic. So how does what you're doing help them?
Well, it can give them an option. They might have a good job, but maybe there are some limitations that no longer work for them if they have Zoom school or they want to have more flexibility. So they might want to consider a franchise as an option. There are ones where they could be the artisan. There are other ones where they could manage employees and some that are more manager run. So depending upon their needs and their flexibility, they conceivably could go with a franchise and they could schedule around their family's needs and activities. It's not that they would necessarily work any less hard. They're probably going to work as hard, maybe even harder. But when you can control your own schedule and be available for certain things, it makes it a lot easier. Or to be able to hire someone to fill in if you can't do certain things.
That flexibility is something that I know is really hot on the job market right now. People are looking for that. And so that's a big selling point.
If I might interject, I think we also tend to have a misconception that franchises are 24/7, 365. Again, we think of fast food. And there are franchises with traditional business hours, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, so to speak. So again, there can be businesses that fit into a lifestyle.
Awesome. So one of the other things when I was talking to you before we started recording here, you had mentioned that you know, you can help a lot of women too. And you see a lot of women who come to you who have maybe took some time off to raise some younger kids or have just been out of the game, the work game for a while. And they may have been highly successful while they were working, but now they haven't been doing it for a while. And it's very hard to try to get back into the workforce. So how does that part of this work? How can women get into franchising if they haven't been working?
Well, it probably allows them to get credit for all the organization and the things that they've been doing. They probably haven't been sitting on the couch eating bonbons. So the nice thing with a franchise is they want a person that has that fire in the belly, if you will, that open mind, that willingness to learn, and has good people skills, stellar customer service. And the franchise company will teach them the specifics. In fact, many times a franchise company doesn't want you to have exact experience. They would rather teach you their method, but they're looking for those soft skills. And I think many women have those excellent relationship building skills, that organization, that management. And that's what a franchise company wants. They can teach you some of the other things.
And I want to let people understand, this franchise, being your own boss of a franchise, you really don't need more than a high school diploma, right?
You don't. Certainly if you graduate from a prestigious school or you have that advanced degree, I've worked with people and have placed them that have had PhDs, but what the franchise company is looking for is that person with that grit, that determination, that's going to run a good business and provide great customer service. And that person may or may not have a degree. I worked with one woman who didn't continue high school, had a young daughter, was a single mom, and she is just a rock star in the business because she sees the opportunity. She is benefiting from her hard work and her efforts, and she's receiving that credit and recognition. And I'm so proud of what she has accomplished. Certainly, I've worked with people that have the advanced degrees, and franchise companies like to tout that, but it is not required.
So really, anybody can do this. That's pretty cool.
Anyone who is coachable and willing to follow a system, yes, and has that desire, has that a certain amount of confidence, and says that with some training, I could do that. And they get to talk to other owners and find out that they're probably no different than them. They just made the move. They just took the step.
Okay, so. You know, then I hear okay, I could do this if I don't have this big degree, but then there's probably another catch. I probably need to have a ton of money to do this. Is that the case?
Well, you do need to have some money. Again, the misperception is that you need to have $1 million because that's what fast food requires. However, if we look at some of the businesses that can be run out of a small office or even a home office, they do not cost an arm and a leg. If we look at some of those, probably the investment starts at about $75,000 and goes up from there. Franchise companies usually want you to have at least a third of that invested and be able to finance the balance so that you've got some skin in the game. Many times people will finance a business through SBA or a home equity line of credit. They can also use retirement funds. If they roll it into their business, there's no penalty. And actually there's some nice advantages to that. You need a specialist to do that, and I can make an introduction there, but there are some options. And if you think about a business or a franchise, you might also think of if you bought a house, that's an investment and you probably put a certain amount down and have a mortgage. Likewise with a business. Not many people come and have all the money that's needed for the business. So most of the people are investing a little and taking out a loan for the balance.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense then. Similar to a house, a lot of people can relate to that. So then, you know, you're helping people do the matchmaking. So are people paying for your services then to help them find this career?
They are not. I can be paid either of two ways. So monetarily, when a person becomes a franchise owner in a company that I introduce them to, the company sees value in what I have done, the education, the matching, and they will pay FranChoice a finder's fee, if you will, for that pre-qualification and that matching. Okay. Franchising is highly regulated, so the franchise fee for any new company is not going to vary. It is what it is. Franchise companies, though, if they pass the FranChoice pre-screening process, usually will look at their marketing efforts and say, gee, we advertised on this website or we did this franchise expo and we didn't get the caliber of people that we wanted. So when Diane and FranChoice bring us the perfect match, yes, we will pay them a fee for their services. And usually it's reallocated from somewhere else. It's simply as a marketing cost. So that's how I'm paid financially. Of course, not everyone should become a franchise owner. And for those people, they usually say, thank you for the information you shared. Thank you for saving me some time and money, but giving me options. And your services and the education was really helpful. So I will keep you in mind when I talk to someone who's been downsized or is looking at business ownership. I will make an introduction. And that is, again, how I can keep my services free and keep my practice going.
That's awesome that you're able to work with people and sticking with your housing analogy, it almost sounds kind of like you're a realtor in this story.
There probably are some analogies there. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So what type of a person, let's talk about, you know, the person that would be good for a franchise opportunity. When you're doing these matchmaking meetings and you're learning about these people, what are the skills you're looking for?
One analogy I like to make is if we look on a scale of 0 to 10, and at 0 or 1 is the person who needs that guaranteed paycheck every 2 weeks, they would not be a good candidate for a franchise because there are no guarantees. There's uncertainty. A franchise helps to minimize the risk, but there is still some risk. So they would not be a good candidate. On that other end of that spectrum, the 10, might be someone like Lady Gaga, that's very crazy, likes to do her own thing, probably couldn't follow a system. She would not be a good candidate for a franchise. However, the people in that 3 to 7 range would probably be very good. They bring certain skills and talent to the table. They want something more freedom, more flexibility, more money. They're willing to work hard. And they look at that and they say, gee, these other people have done it. It's a good system. I think I could do it too. And again, they don't just decide that on one day. There's a whole investigation. So they're learning about the franchise company. They're learning about their marketing and advertising programs, their IT platform, their training, their support, the secret sauce that company brings so that they see all of that value.
Okay. And what are some of the skills then that somebody needs to have? You know, like I just think of, for example, you know, to be a podcast host, you have to be good at talking to people. You have to be able to, you know, juggle multiple things. So, you know, what would be some of those skills if you wanted to own your own franchise?
It will depend a little bit on the franchise. If you aren't strong in sales or marketing, you may want to hire that component if you're better in the operations side. Or if you're better in the marketing side, you may want to hire someone to do some of the operations for you. So there again, looking at someone that maybe is comfortable reading financial statements, is comfortable being involved in the community, is comfortable helping to educate people about a product or service, is comfortable hiring and managing people.
And communication's a key piece to this too, isn't it? You got to be good at talking.
Of course, I think in any business, certainly the better you are at communication, the more it's going to help you as far as what you're able to say and also listening too. Sometimes we underestimate listening. If I might add one little sidebar here. I am a Toastmaster and I still am working very hard and improving my public speaking skills, but it has really helped me. It's a nonprofit organization. I think everyone can benefit from Toastmasters. A lot of times people join that organization when they're in career transition because they want to hone their speaking skills. And that's one thing you can do in this very safe environment. And also there are leadership opportunities as well. So if anyone's listening today and they might want to take one step forward, that would be one thing that they could do that's very low cost.
That's a really good tip. I've heard a little bit about Toastmasters, so that's good to know. How does someone know then, when are you ready to take that leap? You mentioned taking a first step and joining that organization, but how do you know if you're ready to really be your own boss?
I think you know you're ready when you have a lot more information about the franchise company. If someone comes to me and they say, I want to buy a franchise company A, B, or C, usually I will question them because they might be looking at it from the consumer side, but are they looking at it from that owner side? What are the hours? What is the day in the life like? Do they know these things? So usually they say, I'd like to explore. I'd like to learn more. I think I've got what it takes to be a business owner, but let's learn about what the needs are. And the more they learn, usually the more comfortable they get. There's always a certain amount of fear and anxiety. And yet when you replace that with information and facts, it makes it much easier to make that decision. Of course, at the end, no one has a crystal ball, so we can't predict, but we can say we've looked at this and we considered this and we asked this question and we reviewed this so that it does make it easier to say, okay, I'm ready to go. And then there's this energy rush and you get started.
Awesome. So women, particularly being bosses, there are certain skills we as women just naturally have. What makes women a good franchise business owner?
Some of the things we've talked about, the listening, the organization skills that they do, they're probably used to juggling things. I think they can be great. They can judge talent well, character well. Sometimes women underestimate all the skills that they bring, and a franchise or a business can allow them to really blossom.
There's that whole piece, right? You hear the stat over and over, women, if they don't meet 95% of the criteria or 100%, then they're like, oh, I'm not going to do this. But really, you could be selling yourself short a little bit.
Well, you could. If I might tell a story, I worked with a woman who was going through a divorce. She was a parochial school teacher. She worked 80% of the time. She was a music teacher. And she said to me, Diane, I cannot raise my two sons on a 80% music teacher income. So I would like a business. I'm getting some money as a settlement, but I have no business experience. That's why she was interested in the franchise for the systems and the infrastructure that it brought. And she was a I can do this person. She had a big personality. I showed her several businesses. She went forward with one. She has been enormously successful. She has gone back and bought a second territory, a third territory. She ended up getting remarried. And through the franchise that she bought, there were certain vendors that they would do business with. And what are the odds? She won a trip through one of her vendors to Paris, and that was her honeymoon.
Oh, my goodness.
So here is a woman who had no business experience, but was a ready learner, had that grit, that determination, and said, I can do this. And I want to do this, and I've got a reason to do it. I've got, sons to raise, and I want to be involved in the community. And she also has become just a great role model too.
That's an incredible story. It's so cool to hear real life examples, right, of people who are actually doing this and doing it well. It really helps to illustrate that really anybody can.
to me, that's one of the benefits of a franchise, is it's pretty transparent if you will, but take the time and ask the questions. So first of all, you're going to be talking with someone from the franchise company. We call that person in franchise development, the Fran Dev Rep. And you're going to be getting information from them. And then you're going to have the chance to talk to existing owners and say, so tell me about the training. Tell me about the support. Tell me about this. Tell me about that. What was your experience? You get to ask all of these questions and collect all of what I call data points of market size and all of this information. What you won't know is how will you do it? Will you still have that great work ethic and that open and ready mind? I hope so. But you get to check everything out in advance. While we can't predict things, there really should be no major surprises.
Okay, so someone's listening to this, and I mean, I'm excited. So if somebody else is listening to this like me and they're like, oh my gosh, this sounds like something I'm interested in, how do they get a hold of you? How do they get started?
There are several ways they could get a hold of me. The easiest is quickchatwithdiane.com. They can go there and schedule a short call with me. They can also look me up on LinkedIn, Diane Ploys. My last name, Ploys, is spelled P-L-E-U-S-S, as in Sam, Sam. If someone doesn't get it quite right, I do have common misspellings on my LinkedIn profile so that hopefully you can still find me. I have nicknamed myself the Franchise Fitter, so that if you can't remember my name, you can Google Franchise Fitter and hopefully I will come up. My phone number, and also works for text, 925-642-9976 or dianeploys.com.
You are everywhere. Oh my goodness. It sounds like people can find you whether they're looking or not. And I know LinkedIn, that's how I came across you, and it's your LinkedIn profile's got a lot of information there. So that's a great place for people to start.
Thank you. I try to post some of the articles I write, some of the videos that I produce on my phone and post, so that there's content so people can get familiar with me, can learn about me, learn a little bit about the process, and hopefully say, I don't know if I want to buy a business, but I would like to learn more. So initially, it's not about buying the business. Initially, it's about, can you do a good investigation? And are you honest and candid with yourself about the skills and what you bring to the table and what you want?
Right. And I think that's an important piece for people to understand too, is like working with you is not a commitment to have to, you don't have to go through with this, right? Like you get into this and you're learning to find out. And that's the first step.
Exactly. And the timing is never going to be perfect, but sometimes people, we get started and they become business owners, and other times they say, I need to pump the brakes, if you will, from that one commercial, and they will revisit things in a year or two or 5 years later. In fact, right now I'm working with one man who called me up and he said, we talked 11 years ago. I don't expect you to remember me. But since that time, he had opened up business. He got married. He had 3 kids. He was in a much stronger financial position. And he had a business that was very demanding, a restaurant, an independent restaurant. And he said, I don't have a life. And I have 3 kids now. I want another business. And I want a franchise for all the systems in the organization. And I also want other people that understand that network of other owners is just incredible. They understand, they know, they help. It's a terrific resource. And sometimes we forget about that or underestimate it.
Yeah. So my last question for you here, Diane, is any last little tidbits of advice for our lady listeners out there? Anything that, you know, you want them to know?
There's a whole wide, wonderful world of opportunity out there. And if you'd like to explore possibilities, options, know that I'm available for a conversation, to chat. I very much enjoy talking with people, learning about you, and we'll see if it might be something that would be an option for you or not.
That sounds good. I will have links so people can find you. Those will be in our show notes here for Soul Source. So if you're tuning in, you want to get a hold of Diane, her information is below. Diane, thank you so much for being here today and sharing this insight. This is going to be very helpful, I think.
Well, you're welcome. I do have a fondness for everyone from Wisconsin, since that's my home state. And I do work with a lot of women and love being able to show them opportunities because someone helped me along the way. And if I can pay that forward and present options to them, that's what I'm all about.
Oh, that's so great to hear, Diane. Well, thank you, and we'll talk later.
Terrific. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. And if you want to hear more Soul Source, just subscribe to our show. We're available wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can watch us too. We're on YouTube. Just look for Soul Source. Soul Source is brought to you by Red Shoes, Inc., a leading agency specializing in crisis and strategic communications, media relations, social media, and so much more. To learn more about Soul Source and Red Shoes, visit us at redshoesinc.com.